Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy 2019. I feel like I need to take a big deep breath and let it out and get ready. It is a new year and we're at 2019. This is Epiphany Sunday, and I love the story that we're going to read today that continues about Jesus' birth. The Magi who traveled thousands of miles to see the King of the Jews, and when they finally found him, they responded with joy and worship and gifts. This is so different from the approach people often take today. We expect God to come looking for us, to explain himself, prove who he is, and give us gifts. But those who are wise still seek and worship Jesus, not for what they can get, but for who he is. Haven't we sung this month, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, hallelujah? Jesus is one, Lord of all. So I like thinking about, how far would you travel to meet God? The Magi traveled thousands of miles, and they responded with joy, worship, and gifts. May we do so today, as we're here to worship as one faith, one community, Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you pray with me? Lord, a new day has dawned. A new year has begun. Call us so we may hear your voice. Our world turns to hopes and dreams of the future. And we ask, Lord, that you would keep us in your ways and on your path. We enter this new year with hope, with expectation. Remind us that you lead us, that you are Emmanuel, God with us, as we look to you this morning to be our guide as we worship and sing together. Amen. Louise, would you come and lead us in singing?
Please turn to number 639 in the blue hymnal worship book. 639.
Thank you.
And now please turn to number 29 in the purple, sing the storybook. Number
Trevor, would you come and light all of our Christmas candles this morning? For our call to worship, I'm going to read from the book of John. We know that in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it records the story of Jesus' birth. John doesn't do that in the beginning, but he still talks about the coming of Jesus. These are words from John 1, verses 1 through 4, sorry, 1 through 5, and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Lord, we are the people of God, marked by water, claimed by the Spirit, precious and honored in your sight. We are the body of Christ, gathered around your table today, fed by the bread of life, filled with the cup of joy. Strengthen us in the new year as your community of faith. We want to follow God's star, bringing our gifts, seeing the holy in the ordinary, and being made new as we travel new roads. We pray these things in your name. Amen. I would like to invite the ushers to come forward for the offering this morning before we read the scripture. Lord, your glory has risen upon us, and we ask that you would bless these gifts to shine your light brighter in this world, to see your kingdom come in and through us. Amen. I'll be reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, as we continue the story of Jesus' birth. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, They return to their country by another route. The word of the Lord. I want to invite the children for children's story, but as you come up, we're asking you to go in the back and pick up a hygiene kit that we've collected over December and bring that to the front, because we're going to have a blessing for those after the children's story. So children, please go to the back and get a kit. You'll see where they are, and bring those up front as you come for the children's story.
Okay. All right. Guys. Okay. Let's leave those bags closed. I don't know. Where is Jack? He's right back there. There we go. Okay. Yeah. Do you want to put them over there on the steps? The bags? You put them over there on the steps.
Where is mine?
I think it's over on the steps. There you go. Okay. Everybody's getting rearranged now. Okay. We are all the way past Christmas and to the new year now, huh? Yeah. And we have story. What story did we have? We have in this week. Who are we talking about? Some people that came to visit the baby Jesus? Who are they? Yeah, you want to answer, I can see. Who are the people who came to see the baby after the shepherds? It was a while later, and some more people came. Who are those people? Yeah, the Magi. That's right. Mm-hmm. Mary was with the baby. They came to see Mary, too. Yeah. And what did they do? What did they bring with them? Presents. Yeah, presents. And what? I think the shepherds brought the sheep. I think the wise men brought the other presents, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And do you think baby Jesus was happy to get presents? Yeah. Probably he didn't have any idea what they were. I think Isaac might be right on this one. He probably didn't have any idea what gold and frankincense and myrrh were because he was just little. Presents. Yeah. And then who was looking for baby Jesus too? Remember in the story? King Herod. That's right. That's right. But, Isaac is right behind you. So, then, what happened with the wise men? They had a dream, and so what did they do? Did they go back and tell Herod? No, they went another way home, because God was taking care of them and baby Jesus, huh? Yeah. Yeah, and so baby Jesus could leave with his mom and dad and be safe. So, since we were talking about the presents today, I thought maybe it would be okay to have a present for you guys. Do you think that that's okay? It would be okay to have a present? Okay, so everybody can pick one or two. None of these are food. None of them should go in your mouth, so don't chew on them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a pen. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Once you get one, get back so other kids can see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have two yo-yos. That's okay. Yes. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, you got some stickers. Nice job. Yeah, you can get one more. Mm-hmm. It's good to have one for each hand, probably, right?
Froggy.
Yeah, you got a froggy. Okay. Okay. Are we good? Almost. It was hard. Okay. Yeah. Okay. 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 There we go. Are you taking off? Come back. Come back. Come back. Come back. Everybody come back. Okay. First we're going to pray, and then we're going to do something with the kits, okay? Sit down with your things. All right. Wow, that was fast. Okay, let's close our eyes and pray. It's a little bouncy ball. Okay, thank you, God, for sending Jesus, who was the very best present, and for teaching us that it's good to give presents. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now stay right here because we're going to do something with the kits. Okay.
Thank you for bringing these kits up here. Do you guys know what is in the kits? Anybody? Or where they're going? Yes, a little distracting. I'll just go ahead with my spiel here. Well, these are hygiene kits. We haven't collected hygiene kits for a long time. We usually collect refugee kits, or maybe they were called relief kits. I'm not sure, which involves a lot more stuff than this. But these kits go to the homes, to families who have had to leave their homes and been displaced because of war and disaster. And they're just to give them something to keep themselves clean with. They contain a toothbrush and a bar of soap, nail clippers, a hand towel, a comb, and we used to put a tube of toothpaste in, but toothpaste has an expiration date, and countries notice if the expiration date is passed, and so they buy toothpaste where they distribute the kits and put the toothpaste in the kits over there. Hygiene kits are also given to kids that are in schools or orphanages to encourage healthy habits. Last year, MCC shipped 69,375 hygiene kits to the following countries: Jordan, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Haiti, North Korea, Ukraine, Iraq, Zambia, Lebanon, Burkina Faso, Canada, and the U.S. With this collection, we have much more stuff than what the kids brought up here. We've collected enough for 64 kits to send to MCC, and they'll go back to Pennsylvania and then be shipped from there. So in your bulletin, kids, you can go back to your parents now. In your bulletin is a litany, if you take that out and read that with me. He forgot his present. I remember when we, as children, used to get an orange and a bag of candy, right? Okay, join with me. With these gifts, Lord Jesus, you came to us as one displaced, a child needing shelter, hungry, naked, and vulnerable. So are the millions of the least of these, your brothers and sisters in the world today. We come seeking you among the refugee, the exile, and the asylum seeker, with what you have given us out of your abundance. With these gifts, receive these gifts and bless them to give joy, comfort, and hope to all who receive them, and to bring honor to your name. For with these gifts, may our hearts follow where the treasures you have entrusted to us go, so that these gifts may not be the end of our compassion, but a start, not the fullness of our mercy, but the first fruits. For with these gifts, in the name of him who, though he was rich, became poor for our sakes. Amen.
Thank you, children, for your help in bringing these gifts up. A few thoughts about Epiphany. I hope you're up for another story from Burkina Faso that I brought back, actually from a previous trip. It was told to me by a friend of Becky and myself. I think, Don and Kelly, I think you met him too. His name is Tanko. And Tanko grew up in a little village in the far northwest corner of Burkina Faso, near the border with Mali, and that far north in the country, as you're getting closer to the Sahara Desert, there's only about a dozen or so rains that fall during a very short rainy season there, maybe 2.5-3 months at most. So they get just enough rain, barely enough, to grow some dry land crops like millet and sorghum and some varieties of beans, and enough scrub brush and grass to feed their goats and cattle and donkeys, and hopefully enough rainfall to recharge the aquifers so that there's enough for them and their livestock to drink during the long dry season, 9-10 months, and also to irrigate their gardens. Some years it's tight. And that's why Tanko's people would say, quote, life comes from the south. Life comes from the south. Because south is where those dark clouds bearing the rain come from in the months of June and July and into August. They come over the horizon line of ridges and hilltops and short mountains to the south, bringing the rain, the moisture from the Atlantic Ocean. And all life there depends on that. That's where they say life comes from the south. And as a child, Tanko had not learned in school yet about the ocean nor about the water cycle and how the ocean or how the sun generates rainfall by evaporation. He could only wonder just what is there over that horizon, the lines of ridges and hills to the south. What's on the other side that generates those clouds that come our way bringing rain? Perhaps there's this big, huge cauldron over this big, huge fire with this giant making the water boil like when his mother would boil water for making millet porridge over there. So one day when he was about 8 years old, Tanko left his home in his little village and went south, ascending the hills until finally he got to the top of the ridge line where he could look down and beyond to the south. And what do you think he saw? Anyone? Pardon me? More mountains, that's right. Actually, more hills and mountains to the south over which were coming more of those rain-bearing clouds. And that's when Tanko began to understand just how much more vast and mysterious is this world than the little village and the shallow little valley in which it lay. And then he began to understand the proverb heard much around the world, beyond the mountains are more mountains. Later in his adult life, when Tanko related this story to me, You can say he had also been to Ivory Coast and he'd seen the ocean, the source of the life-giving rain, so he knew about the water cycle. He could also say that what he was seeking in his 8-year-old understanding, the source of all life, his own including, he had found really not by climbing any hills to the south, not by standing on the beach, but in Jesus Christ and in his gospel and grace. And that's why I have long treasured Tanko's story about his 8-year-old search for the source of life in those clouds. It's such a precious and poignant parable about the search and the journey that all of us are on. And we came here this morning in a way similar to Tanko climbing those hills. His experience illustrates another proverb, that sometimes we don't really know what it is we're looking for until it finds us. All right, I confess, I made that proverb up. I made it up after reflecting on Tanko's story and on my own story and on the story of these magi who came bearing gifts to the Christ child on that day that we call Epiphany. And that's an ancient Greek word for the revealing or the unveiling. In this case, it's the unveiling or the revealing of the Hebrew Messiah to the nations, to the Gentiles, as Israel's prophets had promised would happen. And for many Christians around the world, Epiphany is actually the high point towards which the whole Advent and Christmas season is tending. Now, I can't overstress or overstate just how really surprising and strange it is that the very first Gentiles to see the Christ child, to see the life and the love at the source of all life and love, would be these magi. And the word magi suggests that they were priests and astrologers, sorcerers and sages of the imperial religion of the Persian Empire. And that they were watching the stars and interpreting them also underlies the fact that they're astrologers. And they would also try to divine the future or to discern the best royal policy by things like sacrificing animals and then looking for clues from the spirits in the animals' livers or kidneys or in the way the smoke from the sacrificial fire ascended to the heavens. And they may also have cultivated trances and spells and channeled spirits, and even we know that official Persian religion occasionally involved human sacrifice. So they would have been into everything that the Hebrew Bible is against, and rightfully so. But that they knew about Jews and Judaism and an expected king of the Jews and respected these people suggests that they lived where there was a big Jewish community, probably what is now modern-day Baghdad. And from the Jewish exile all the way to World War II, the biggest, most influential, and scholarly Jewish community in the world was there in Baghdad. Still, so that's why I would not be surprised if when Mary and Joseph saw these magi coming with gifts and knew who they were, they might have felt just a little squeamish about receiving them and accepting their gifts. And maybe they got over that squeamishness by remembering Old Testament prophecies like from Isaiah chapter 60, 700 years before. Words like, "Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camel will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephrah. And from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." Or maybe they thought of the blessings and the hopes for Israel's king in the words of Psalm 72. "May the desert tribes bow before him. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down and all nations serve him." And those were Old Testament prayers and promises that the Gentiles would come, bringing honor and treasure, their lives and their love, back to the very source from which they all come, back to Israel's God. And that's how we ended up here, starting with them. And so Epiphany celebrates the beginning of the fulfillment of all those prayers and promises like we just heard. Isaiah and the other prophets did not say, however, that these Gentiles would come understanding 100% why they're coming, nor to whom they're coming. And do we? Do I sometimes? And like Tanko, these Magi were seeking the source of all life, including their own. And like Tanko, standing on that ridge line looking south, they realized they were finding more than they understood or had counted on. And like Tanko, they were genuine and sincere in their search, if also maybe a little confused and ignorant. And we must treasure that about these Magi and not condemn it or dismiss it. Which of us has it all totally figured out, all together, has the last word on God, all the truth and nothing left to learn? If anything, I think we should commend them and treasure them for at least going in the right direction, on the right search, to the right destination with what limited understanding they had. And those Magi could also then say after their trip, you know, sometimes we don't really know what it is we're looking for until it finds us. And I think we can say that too. As Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, God has put eternity in our hearts. And so something within us stirs to seek the source of life and love. As St. Augustine said in his Confessions, you have made us and drawn us to yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. And this quest that we are on, that they are on, is leading us to the one who inspires and motivates and guides this quest. It's leading us also to a world, to the revelation of God and of a world much bigger and more complex and beautiful and wondrous than we might ever have had in mind. And like those Magi, we too are bringing our talents, our time, our tribute, our lives, our love back to their source in worship. So this year, let's stay on that quest. Let's keep to our journey homeward. For all the other places and the people in which we seek the source and meaning of our lives, whether it's in politics or power or possessions or pleasure or prosperity, they're all turning to ash and trash around us. However long and surprising and baffling this journey might be, don't give it up neither for cheap and easy answers and self-satisfied certainty, nor don't give it up either for cheap and easy skepticism or cynicism or doubt and despair. For the object of our quest, the direction of our quest, is also the one who motivates and inspires and guides our quest. And as we relate to the world and to each other too, don't look just at how far people have yet to go or how far off track they are. You know, that's always easier to see in someone else than in ourselves. Yes, we're all partial people. We're all unfinished products, diamonds in the rough, who, like Tanko, like the Magi, see through a glass dimly. But try also to look at how far people have come and against what odds and against what lessons they've had to learn and how much and whenever they are at least tending in the right direction toward Jesus. The Magi didn't know, and they couldn't have known then and there in Bethlehem, that they were meeting in the Christ child, the very Lord and God who has come seeking us. But they know that now, and so do we, as a result of their rather confused journey and discovery. So with the Magi and with Tanko now, we can say sometimes you never really know just who it is you're looking for until God finds us. Amen.
Number 218, Blue Book. Let's stand if you're able. Number 218.
We are the Church of the Magi, also united in a common quest and common dawning discovery of the one who motivates our journey and also guides us and is at the end of our journey as well, the source of our life and love. And we do that with the church worldwide and throughout all time. And our sharing of the bread and the cup now will be both a symbol and an experience, I pray, of that sharing, that solidarity that we have with Christ through His Spirit and with each other. Just a few words about our celebration and some of the details together. First of all baptized believers in Christ who are seeking and desiring to live in love, peace, and obedience to Christ, whatever or wherever your church membership status might be, are welcome to share in the bread and the cup as a symbol and also as a means of showing and sharing our communion with Christ and each other. And so we declare in the sharing of the bread and the cup, and so we know that Christ is bread of life for us personally and as a congregation and as a worldwide church. And we show and we share that His life and Spirit course through us like blood does through His body, which we are. Today, we will bring the bread and the cup to you while you remain in your seats. And as we sing hymns 453 and 454. And we won't be holding and singing hymn books while the juice is being shared afterwards. Take and hold your piece of bread when it comes your way on the tray. And it is gluten-free bread for anyone and everyone. Hold that piece of bread until then we have all been served. And then I will give the instructions so that we can partake of the bread together at the same time. And afterwards, we'll do the same thing with the cup, which will also be passed to you as well. Hold on to that cup until, again, I give the directions, and then we might share the cup together at the same time. Those who are not baptized but who wish to make a pledge of their intent towards following Christ and joining His body may do so by taking a grape and sharing that when we share the cup as we pass those around. And if there are any children or others who wish to do that, then raise your hand as Cynthia comes around with a tray of the grapes. Now I invite you, first of all, to pray with me as we prepare for sharing the bread and the cup. Let's pray. Your body, Lord, was broken as a sacrifice for us. Your blood was shed as a sacrifice for us. Your life is given, Lord, as example, as well as power to give us hope, power with which to follow You, Lord. You call us to partake of the bread and the cup in a worthy way, but the most worthy way, Lord, seems to be to remember that it is Your worthiness that we celebrate and not ours, and that we are given to celebrate and to share Your life as our bread of life by Your worthiness, by Your mercy, by Your merits, by Your goodness, grace, and generosity. And grant, O Lord, that we might indeed see You and share You in the bread and the cup, and that we might see You and share You in each other's lives. Grant that, yes, as we look backwards to do this in memory of You, we might also look forward to do this until and show Your death until You come, and grant that it might also lead to the further sharing of lives, of love, of substance, of witness and worship. This we pray in the name of Him who is bread of life for all of us. Amen. I invite now the elders to come forward to share with me the responsibilities of sharing the bread and the cup. Would you hold this, please? Oh, yes, that's right. And for our singing? Okay, as the bread is being shared, then lead us in the singing. Okay. Right, and the hymn numbers are 453, and then after that, 454. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, saying that this is my body, which is broken for you. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. So share, receive, and share the body of Christ and the bread that we share as a memorial of what he has done for us and in anticipation of the wedding feast of the Lamb. Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup of blessing and said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Again, we will bring out the cups for you to to receive, and also if there's anyone who would want a grape as a pledge of discipleship to come, then raise your hand for that as well, and hold on to the cup until we can share that together as well.
As it was.
Please join me again in prayer. Lord, what we have shown and confessed in our actions, in our sharing of the bread and the cup, so bring to pass in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes, in this congregation and community, and throughout the world. Lord, as we draw our life from the giving of your life in the past, and also from the hope of the future, and the wedding feast, the feast of victory yet to come. So bless, guide, and empower us, we pray, in the name of him who is the bread of life for us. Amen.
This is our prayer and share time. I'm a little bit sad that we have to take all of these decorations down. I've been enjoying them so much, and so many people have been a part of that. So I just, again, want to say thank you for the art, for the candle holders, for the frame, for the star. I liked that I could go out back behind the church and get greenery on the trees. So it's been wonderful to enjoy, and thank you all for the part that you played in building this visual and art around Mary and Child. So please look in your bulletin. There's a lot of announcements today, just so you know what's coming up and happening here. Would anyone like to share any prayer requests or praises this morning? Lauren?
Many of you will remember Bob and Nancy Friesen, who were part of our church in the 80s. Bob passed away early Monday morning. So please remember Nancy and the children, Tom and Tricia, in your prayers.
Thank you, Lauren. Chris.
It's Chris Cady, and I would ask prayers for Mom. She's had two spells this last week where she can't speak. We did all the stroke test things, and I'm saying it's not a stroke, but the doctor thinks otherwise. So she's having many strokes. We're going to be doing three different tests this week. And I can tell you if a loved one is going through this, I thought I would help by saying, you know, Mom, maybe it's just the onset of dementia. That did not go over well at all. She just looked at me, and her doctor says, Chris, I don't think you're helping. It's probably many strokes that will probably, we can alleviate these little spells by doing some blood thinner. But tests this week, so prayers for her peace. Each time it hits, she runs and gets her Bible with her final directives written down and says, you know, the papers are right here if this is the big one. So prayers for her peace, and we can get some help.
Thank you. Steve.
This is Steve Phillips. For 5 months, I've been up at OHSU neuromuscular clinic being retested. I guess about 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with myotonia, which is the inability for my muscles to relax. So I had to be retested because things were a little peculiar, and finally my test results came back, and so I have a mutation in the sodium channel is the problem that's causing my myotonia, which is completely opposite of what they used to think. So I'm starting this week, I'm starting treatment up at OHSU, which is unusual too, because I've never got treatment before. So I'm starting physical therapy, and I had MRIs done last week on the major sockets, you know, my shoulders and my knees and my hips, because they're concerned with tissue damage done with when those muscles don't relax properly. So I'm going through all that, and which is really good news for me, but it's also nervous. It makes me nervous and anxious, and because the drive and just dealing with all that. So I just asked for that prayer to, for mostly to relieve my anxiety. So that's what. Thank you.
Thank you. We want to remember Kathy LaBear, who had shoulder surgery this past week. She is at home, and she's doing well. We want to remember Margaret. Is Margaret here today? Am I missing Margaret? Margaret Shetler, who's recovering from pneumonia. Kelsey.
I'm sort of breaking the rules. This is technically an announcement, but I'm not going to be here the next 2 weeks to make the announcement. So just a reminder that the Drift Creek Adult Retreat is happening the last weekend of January. Their sign-up sheet is in the back, but also you should have an email from the church with a Google form link if that's easier for you. If you haven't been before, it's very relaxing. You can do as much as you want or as little as you want. And some people like to go and just read. Other people like to go and hike. But if you have any questions, you can ask me, but I won't be here the next 2 weeks. So you can call or email or talk to somebody who's gone before, people like Stan and Vonnie, for example.
Thank you. Carol, did you ask the mic? Yeah. Carol Stringer.
I just want to say that I'm so thankful this year again that Taylor and Dustin King could be here from Massachusetts for a Christmas celebration, and Drew was home from college in Arizona, and they'll all be flying back to their homes today. So I'd like to ask for traveling mercies and safety for them as they get back to where they need to be until we meet again.
Good to have you guys home. Yeah. Someone up here, Shirley? Pass down to Shirley.
Maynard Nofsinger went to the doctor this week, and he was hoping for some plan in progress, but the doctor didn't seem to know what to do and asked him to come back in 3 weeks. So he needs our prayers.
Thank you. I don't want to miss Ken back here.
Nancy and I have some changes and celebrations in our life. Those of you that are Facebook watchers may have noticed that Eric and Jen are going to have a baby sometime the end of June. So I'm sure Ken Jr. will be a nice young man to join. On Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon, Nancy and I take off again for Malaysia. We'll be flying San Francisco, Hong Kong, Singapore, and then there. 19 hours and something. And last week, 27th, actually it was 1969. On the 27th at 4 o'clock, Pastor Jurdy and Paul Bruner married Nancy and I. So, 49 years.
Congratulations, twice over. Yes, Carol.
In all my family thankfulness here, I forgot. I was so pleased this morning to see Megan and her husband, Raul, back joining us. And I've been wondering where they've been, because I knew they were coming back home. And I'm so glad they found their way back here.
You want to say a few words? Yeah. Tell us what you're up to.
Okay, we got back a couple weeks ago. We've been hanging out with family. We're going to be here for about 6 months this time. It was going to be forever, but we couldn't do it. So 6 months. And we're having a baby in March. The kids are starting school, so we'll get back into life for a while.
Good to have you here today, and your children. Yes. Anyone else, as I'm coming from the back?
Yes, Kelly.
This may seem like a small thing, but Christian starts a new job tonight. He'll be working in graveyard so that he can still go to school full-time and spend more time with the family. So just prayers for his body having to change to a new schedule. And also in talking to him, he mentioned again how much he misses seeing and being with all of you from Zion. So you're still in his heart.
Thank you, Kelly. Jennifer?
I think over 10 years ago, Harrison surprised me by raising his hand for the mic and saying he wanted prayers for his snot issues because he had a cold. And I'm only saying that because he's not here today. My whole family has snot issues right now, including me. But I thought I would ask for prayer for him. He's going to Peru on Tuesday. He leaves. He goes back to Goshen and then goes to Peru for SST, and he'll be there until April. And then he gets to come home for the few weeks in April before May term starts. So he'll be here for Easter and alumni choir, and that's kind of neat. Maybe he can give it a report on what Peru was like and what he learned there.
Thank you, Matthew.
We are asking for prayer for a man, a friend of ours named Ondum. He is from what is now Eritrea. It used to be part of Ethiopia. 37, 38 years ago, Becky and I were part of a group of people who greeted him and his wife Temnit and their daughter Philmona at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. They came as refugees sponsored by Church World Services, and we've been just great friends with him ever since. And we've been at each other's children's weddings and celebrated so many things together and part of the same churches. And we got the disturbing news yesterday that Ondum had gone back to Eritrea before Christmas to see his mother, who was very, very sick. And sometime around Christmas Day, he was arrested and put into prison. It's a country with a terrible reputation for human rights and persecution of the church. And we think it might be because there had been an attempt on a government minister's life by someone who had connections to the U.S., and so he got picked up in that sweep. And so the family is asking for prayer on his behalf and gathered letters to write on his behalf that he might be released soon. And so on there, Ondum is his name, A-N-D-O-M. Let's keep him in our prayers for his speedy release and return to his family.
Thank you for sharing. Let's go to prayer, and at the end of our prayer, we will say the Lord's Prayer together. Lord, we need your wisdom. Help us to be wise seekers of you in this new year. And we are aware of those in our families, those that we love and care for, that are a part of Zion, that need your strength, your peace with health issues, with health treatment, with some of the unknowns. And we ask that you would be with them. Thank you for the successful surgery with Kathy LaBear. We pray that you would be with her now that she is at home, and with Margaret, who is recovering from pneumonia. Lord, we ask you would give peace to Steve through this transition of diagnosis and new treatment, even dealing with traffic in his appointments in Portland. We pray for the Friesen family and the great loss that they're feeling, Nancy and her children. Thank you for Phyllis and her wonderful presence that has been a part of Zion. We ask that you would be with her today give her strength and comfort. We ask that you would be with Christian Yoder as he transitions to a different work schedule. Thank you that he remembers us, and in that remembering, we lift him to you as your child in your care. Lord, we pray for travel mercies for Nancy and Ken, for Harrison, for Taylor and Dustin, for Drew, as they go back to their places of work and school. Be our light when we're in despair. Be our hope when we are grieving. Be our comfort when we are burdened. Lord, you are the friend to share the load when we are anxious. You are that calm assurance for all of us gathered here today. We want to embrace your light. We want to walk in it as we call, as you have called us to follow you and be Christ to others. As we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand for our sending song.
Number 478.
May the love of the Creator, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of the Christ child be with you in this new year and evermore. Go in peace.